Welcome to the Life Tools Sermon Audio Podcast. Life Tools is an online resource at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Listen now to another dynamic message preached at the Bill Rice Ranch Summer Camp Ministry.
The war in your soul. I've never been in war in my life. Never was in the military. Never served active duty in a military post on another field. I've talked to soldiers who've been to Afghanistan, Iraq, other places. Whenever I was in college, there were some people that were involved in Desert Storm. But I personally have never been in a fierce conflict like that. I would say that perhaps the most fierce conflict physically that I've been in the last 8 years was a tackle football game. A group of students at Ambassador, they said, "Hey, Brother Bill, we want to play tackle football. Would you like to play with us?" And I made the dumb remark, "Yes, that would be great. I think that'd be wonderful." And so we met out on the football field on a Saturday morning, and we played our first game of tackle football. And it was rather innocent. And, you know, at that time being the first game, people were careful with each other. I'm not going to hit you too hard, but I am going to throw you down to the ground. Well, we played for about a series of four different games, and with every game, it got more and more rough. I mean, after a while, it was amazing to me. I mean, by the time we played the last game, this was the game where we called it quits. I'll never forget it. I was standing back in the pocket, and I was waiting for the receiver to get open, and a guy hit me blindsided, and he cracked every bone in my back. I picked myself up and I thought, my soul, what just hit me? I remember another time a guy was running down the field, and this guy who used to be in the Navy, he was a military guy, he was fit and lean, John Luchek, for some of you Ambassador guys that are here. Boy, John came up on this one guy and launched into him, and I'll never forget it. Like, here's this guy's body. John launches into him, and all of a sudden, the guy folds like a sandwich. I mean, it was absolutely incredible, and we had to just pick him up off the ground. It was a horrendous hit. I mean, while I've never carried a gun and thrown hand grenades, I'm telling you, that game was a war. I thank God I survived it. It was fierce, and after that we all met together with aching bones and said, you know, this probably is not a good idea for our health, and I'm getting out of this because I've got three children and a wife to support, and it's just life's too short to lose all of your ability playing a little of this tackle football. Now, for you guys here, you'd say, I've never been in a war either. You say, some of you maybe have aspirations to go into the military someday, and you think that the mistake is, in your mind, you think that being in the military is like playing Halo or one of these popular games that just glorifies violence and just really makes it as if it's no big deal. But I assure you, there's a big difference between a video game and real life. But you know, every one of you, listen, you have a war going on right now. And I want to show it to you in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." There's a variety of ages represented in this room. Any of you, any 12-year-olds in here? Okay, we've got a few 12-year-olds, all right. 13, where are you at? Okay, what about 14-year-olds, where are you at? All right, 15-year-olds, where are you at? 16? All right, 17? Okay, 18? Any 19-year-olds? All right, it's really interesting to watch, you know, the higher up you go, the more excited they get. You know, they're 16, 17, they're like, yeah, that's where I'm at. You know, 13-year-olds are like, you know, one day you'll get to the top of the food chain, all right? You just have to take your time. Everybody had to pay their dues just like you do. But I don't care, listen, whether you're playing with Lego men and Army men right now or whether you're in high school and you've discovered the opposite gender, let me tell you, you better understand there's a war right now. There's something that is trying to war against your soul, and that's why the Bible says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's a battle that takes place in your life. Took place in my life as a teenager. Any sponsor here would admit to the same thing. Even in Christian circles, there is a battle. You have this thing that is called flesh. Did you know that? You say, well, how do I know that I have flesh? It's very easy to figure out that you have flesh. All you got to do is just take, you know, I like pinching the back of the arm because that's a real sensitive place. And I bet you if I pinch this hard enough, this fellow, what's your name?
David.
Now, you'd probably hit me if I pinched you hard enough, wouldn't you? I would if I were you. I'd be like, leave me alone.
He's harmless.
You know, if I came up to you, you know how I know that you're made of flesh? I'll tell you how. I learned this trick. I'm not going to do it to you. But if you ever want to get somebody's attention and you're in close quarters and you want to get them off of you, just while your hand's down to your side, flick your middle finger there by your thumb, and in one quick shot, come up and hit them under the nose just like this with a hard thump. You know what happens when that happens? Now, don't do it in here, and don't do it back in the cabin to somebody else. But I'm going to tell you what happens. Their eyes begin to water, pools of water, and they drop to the floor, and they're like, But let me tell you another way that I know that you have flesh and I have flesh. It's not just by a pinch or a thump, but there are appetites, there are desires within your life that are instigated by the flesh, and those have to be harnessed. Those have to be controlled. Some of you right now, you're on the younger end of this thing, and it's not. But listen, if you're 12 or 13 years old, you better be thinking now, and you need to realize that every one of us, we're made of flesh. And the older you get, it seems like the more opportunity arises. And by the way, it doesn't stop when you're a teenager. You know, it just continues on as you get older. It continues on after you get a wedding band on your finger. You never are able to escape this body of flesh, and you have to always be walking in the Spirit. But I want to talk to you about this war in your soul on three different fronts. I want to talk to you about a battle plan that I think if you're going to win this war, there are three different fronts that you need to fight upon, and there are three different fronts that you need to be very well aware. Usually when you have a battle, you have a strategy. How many of you ever played Capture the Flag? All right. Now there are some of you, you have no strategy when you play. You just run around hyperactive and buzzed out on sugar and ices, and you're like, woo! And then there are others of you, you're like your schemers. Okay, you climb up in that tree, and then when you hoot like an owl and distract so-and-so, then we're going to rush in, you know, whatever your plan is. All right, that's the extent of it. But you know, spiritually, when it comes to warring or abstaining from fleshly lust, let me give you three fronts that you have to battle on, and the first one is the most important, and that's the spiritual front. Now, by saying the spiritual front, I'm not saying that I don't have spiritual advice on the other two, but on the spiritual front, listen, there are two things that you need to make sure, and one is very elementary. And then the second one is one that maybe is not as well known to you. Number one, in the spiritual front, listen, you want to win the war against the flesh. Hey, the first way that you're going to enter that battle and have the potential of winning it is salvation. Now, you've heard that all this week. You have heard this week about the importance of trusting Christ as your Savior. The other night I talked about having a clear testimony of salvation. You have heard Brother Rice as he preached about hell. But listen, if there are some people that come to Christian camp, and listen, they will never have the possibility of winning this war and this battle because they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, I know that's so elementary, but if you're here, young man, and you still haven't humbled yourself, you say, I know that I need to be saved, but you know, everybody else maybe thinks I am, and I am just going to hold out. You're going to live the most frustrated life until you give in to God. All right, but let me give you the second aspect of that spiritual front, and that is learning to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, did you hear that? Let me say that again. Walk in the Spirit, and here's God's promise, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That shall not is very strong. It is emphasized. It's like maybe if somebody comes, let's say you have somebody in your cabin that doesn't like to shower. I know that never happens in teen camp. I know that Everybody showers once, twice, even three times a day, right? Some of you are like, mm-mm. And let's say you tell a kid, you say, listen, you're not coming back into our cabin until you take a shower. You take a bath, you go do something, but you stink. And then you stand there at the front of the door and you're like, uh-uh, you're not coming in. You're pretty strong. You're pretty dogmatic about that. You know what? God was pretty dogmatic when he said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we don't understand what does it mean to walk in the flesh. I'm not going to do it, but I'll tell you, I'm afraid that if I asked some of you in this room, I said, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You know what you'd do? You'd look at me and you'd say, I don't know. You know what? I don't fault you as much for that as I do perhaps those who are spiritual authorities in your life. Now, we can't teach you everything, but you know what? There have been times that I've assumed that young people knew a lot more than they did. You know what it means to walk in the Spirit? Somebody would say, yeah, my grandmother goes to a church and they do it all the time. Woo! No, that's probably craziness. It's probably not walking in the Spirit. What is the idea of walking in the Spirit? It carries several connotations. It's the idea walking is a physical thing, right? How many of you have walked today? Anybody? All right, some of you need to wake up, all right? And you walk. Well, here's the idea of walking in the Spirit. It's the idea of walking in the realm of the Spirit. It's the idea of being submitted to the Spirit of God. You know, there are times in my life where I don't always, in my flesh, I want to do the wrong thing. And I have to have a spirit of submission and submit to the Spirit of God rather than to my own flesh and appetites. And walking in the Spirit, when I was a kid in field day, we would play the three-legged race. They would tie our inside legs together at the sound of the whistle. We would take off running. And there was a guy named Larry Atkins. Larry and I would always participate together in the three-legged race. And boy, we had this down to a science. Man, as soon as the whistle went off, inside, outside, inside, outside, inside, outside. And I mean, before you know it, we're not saying a word. We sit down in the end zone of the football field. We've won first place, and we see human pretzels scattered all over that field. You know why? Because they weren't walking together. There's some of you, maybe when you came to camp, you've really been walking in the flesh. You're easily angry. Don't you dare say, well, God made me with a short fuse. Don't you blame God for what you're doing. Maybe for some of you, your appetite, your desires for the opposite gender have been totally wrong and they've been sinful. You know what? That reveals that you've been walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. It's pretty hard to be submitted to the Spirit of God, young man. I want you to sit up, look this way. It's hard for you to be submitted to the will of, to the Spirit of God if you're not in the Word of God. Some of you right now, you can practice basketball every day, but you know what? You can practice basketball every day and be a failure in life if you're not in that book every day. And before we even talk about rules and regulations and boundaries and standards, you're like, Brother Bill, if I'm going to try to do what's right and I'm going to win this war against my soul and abstain from fleshly lust, before I give you a long list of regulations, let me tell you, young man, you better be saved and you better be learning what it means to walk in the Spirit, because God made a promise that you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. So I want to ask you, before you came to the ranch, were you in the Word? Would you talk to God of your own volition instead of being forced in a youth group to pray? Fellas, I want you to see that you can have a relationship with God just like your pastor, your youth pastor, your parents, if you'll just take the time to slow down and just yield to Him. So we find a spiritual front. Walking in the Spirit, very important. Being in the Word, being submitted to the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5 is a wonderful chapter to describe that, but I won't take the time to go there. But number two, not only on the spiritual front, but you also need to face this battle on the mental front. Now, I know some of you, we question how much mental is really there, okay? Some of you, even right now, you're just sort of looking and there's nothing registering between the earlobes here. But on the mental front, Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know, I believe after we depart from the spiritual front and we talk about those foundations, hey, I believe that a lot of people are unaware of the mental front of what happens in this mind, how much it really controls what you do and what you say. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to see something. You ever had somebody ask you the question, what in the world were you thinking? You know, you do something stupid. I know you've never done anything like that before. I worked in the dean of students' office for years at Ambassador. I was the dean of men. A lot of times I had to be the bad guy. And I remember every once in a while I'd ask this question, what in the world were you thinking, man? And they said, I wasn't thinking. I said, that's exactly right. That's how people get hit by cars. They're not thinking. They just walk out in the interstate. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But notice with me Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What have you been thinking about lately? You know, there are a lot of things that influence our thinking. Do you know that? Let me tell you a big, big one that influences our thinking. It's our music. Now, guys, I want you to listen to me for just a minute. There's some of you, when it comes to your music, it's a very sore subject. You're like, listen, don't go there. All right, now instead of giving you some kind of big music theory lesson, which I don't think I have to do this morning, I'll tell you how for some of you right now you know that your music's wrong is because it causes you to think on things that are not, that is not pure. You know, when you listen to a genre of music that exalts immorality, when it exalts loose living, you know what? That music is encouraging you to think on things that are not pure, they are not just, and many times they are not true either. You know, sometimes rock musicians, I think, are a lot like soap operas. They paint everything out sometimes to be perfect when it's not. I know, I'm sure there are other things that talk about the world falling in, but you understand that your music has a big impact on what you think. And there are some of you, listen, your thinking pattern will never be changed until you're man enough to step out beyond the public opinion of your peers and cast that music aside because you say, I want to think like Philippians 4:8. You know, getting rid of bad music in your life is as easy now as it's ever been. They used to talk about record burnings. You're like, oh, that's so old-fashioned. Let me tell you how easy it is now. Just pull out your iPhone, go to iTunes, and just take a swipe, and when you see the delete button, pop. Now, you won't get a refund, but at least it's off your phone. That's even environmentally green, you know. You won't, no fluorocarbons or whatever that mess is. But you know what? Your music impacts your thinking. You know another thing that impacts your thinking is your friends. You want to read about a man who was negatively influenced by a friend? You read the story in the Old Testament of Jonadab and Amnon. Amnon lusted after his own family member, half-sister. He fell in love with her and he struggled inside because he knew it was wrong to do that, and yet he had a friend. His name was Jonadab. And Jonadab was a very subtle man, and Jonadab affected Amnon's thinking. He hatched a plan so that Amnon could fulfill his lustful desires, and then as a result, Amnon's life came to a sudden end and a woman's life was ruined. Why? Because of the advice and the influence of a friend that had changed his thinking. You know, if you have friends back home that think your being at the ranch this week was the greatest waste of time, if I were you, I'd be thinking about that friendship. If you've got young people, listen, that back home say, why in the world do you go to youth group? You need to be with us. Let's do this thing. If I were you, I'd be thinking hard and long about that friendship. Because what happens is they encourage us in a way that feeds our flesh, and there that war is going on. Can you say in your music, can you say in your friendships, your associations, that you're thinking about the things that you ought to be thinking about? They're encouraging you to think. Number one, you find a spiritual front. Number two, you find a mental front. And guys, here's another admonition as to why you need to be very careful about the mental. Jesus alludes to this in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 28. He said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." So many times we think sin is an outward action. Let me tell you, it's an inward thing. You understand that when you have a look, you have a lustful thought, listen, that is the time to deal with it right then and there. It's not to wait until all of a sudden you're in a physical mess. No, listen, Jesus is saying the root of the problem is right here. Do you deal with those kinds of things? Am I talking to some of you? Listen, when it comes to what you think, not only is it affected by your music, not only is it affected by your friendships, look this way, young man, but it's affected by what you see with your eyes, whether it be in your presence or it be on the computer. I was preaching in a camp several years ago. A guy came up to me afterwards and he said, "Brother Bill," he said, "I've been looking at pornography on the computer," and he said, "I've confessed it and I've gotten it right with the Lord." And he said, I'm debating on whether or not I should talk to my parents about it. I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Did you do it on your parents' computer?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Late at night when they weren't around?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Do your parents love you?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Do they try to help you?" He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Well, being the fact that you did it on their computer and they're your parents, I think you ought to tell them." He said, "I just don't know about that." I said, "Well, you just think about it for a moment. How would you like for somebody to take something of yours and then mess it up like you did? As a matter of fact, if somebody wanted to go back and trace something, they could pin it on your dad instead of you. How would you like that if you were your dad?" He said, "You know, you're right." And so afterwards, you know what he did? He took the phone, he called his mom and dad, and about the first 10 minutes was just filled with tension. I mean, who wants to tell their parents, "I've been messing around on a computer that's yours," and you know, just by the fact, not just using their computer, but the fact that you're their son and you've disappointed them. Nobody wants to do that. But you know what he did? And he took the steps that he needed. Why? Because he wanted to escape that avenue that had been feeding his flesh. And I believe that very well, if statistics are true, there's some of you young men, listen, you are so loose in your viewing habits, every time you sit down, you feed the flesh when you sit on the internet. It used to be fashionable to preach against television and all, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe the internet has the TV beaten hands down with all of the filth that can be accessed. Now, I don't say that this morning to cause some of you to say, "Wow, that's an easy avenue. I think I'll go to it." It has just become so rampant in our society, I think we have no other choice but then to hit it head on and say, "This has a lot of wickedness on this medium and we've got to be discreet." You know what Paul said? Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And we're going to allude to that here in a little bit later. But you know, when it comes to the computer, I don't even trust myself. Now, I understand for me, you know what the biggest restraint for me to keep me from feeding the flesh, even more so than filtering software, is the filling of the Holy Spirit. But I'll take any help I can get. That's why I won't go to certain places. Why? Because I don't want my eyes filled with that. That's why that I won't visit certain sites, or I won't just surf into a lot of places that I've just never been to. Why? Because it's just not worth taking a chance. But there are some of you this morning, you're losing the battle mentally. And you've got to change some things, and you've got to change them soon. And there are people in this room that would love to help you if you'd humble yourself. First of all, confess it to God, and then seek help. So number one, a spiritual front. Number two, a mental front. But number three, if you're going to fight this battle, you have got to fight it in a physical front. Now, there's a couple of areas I want to stress about this physical front. You have flesh, and your flesh has sinful desires. Now, I want to do something to illustrate this, and it's not original with me. As a matter of fact, I saw Jeff Redland do this here at the ranch, but it is such a great illustration of this, I want to share it with you, all right? Now, and I want to show you the power of the flesh. Do you think the touch of the opposite gender is a powerful thing? You think that ever sends off sparks? Listen, you don't have to try it. You just take my word for it. If you say, I've touched a Lego man and I've touched an army man, but girls still have cooties. Well, if that's where you're at, just take my word for it, all right? But there is power in a physical touch. As a matter of fact, when you read Proverbs 5 and 6, do you know how that young man is enticed? He is enticed by the physical senses. Whether it be the things that were said, the lips that were touched, all the feelings, smell, hearing, all of that, all of the human senses were used for seduction. Now, there's some of you guys here, you're in a church youth group, and they have these dumb rules. I say dumb in quotes since you can't see what I'm saying. We can't date. We can't even touch girls in our youth group. That's so crazy, except for my sister, and I don't want to do that. You say, we can't do this and we can't do that. We can't sit together. They're even Amish. They make the guys sit on one side and the girls sit on the other. Well, just buy you a pair of black suspenders and a white hat and a straw hat and grow you a beard, all right? Sometimes we blow all that stuff out of proportion. By the way, the devil will do the same thing with you he did with Eve in the garden. He'll tell you what you can't have instead of what you can. But now there's some of you here, if you're skeptical about this, you say, Brother Bill, I think that the physical stuff that you're talking about and just this loose play physically, I'm not talking about anything horrible, Brother Bill, but I just don't understand why in the world that my youth pastor is so touchy about this physical thing, all right? If you don't understand it, I'm going to illustrate it for you. I want you to come here. What's your name again?
Dominic.
Okay, Dominic, I want you to sit in that chair over there, far side. This is Dominic right here, all right? Now, for the sake of illustration, we're going to pretend that he is a beautiful young lady that you like, all right? Now, all right? Now, all right? Now, listen here. This is a girl in your youth group that you like. You're sweet on, okay? You know, you come and you're like, hey, this is great, you know? And so anyway, you're coming into youth group that night and you just enjoy sitting beside her any chance that you get. I mean, you're like her shadow. You know? Get the ring out of your nose. And so this is what happens. You come into youth group one night. You've got a real hankering for this young lady. And just you have to do a lot of imagination here with Dominic. All right? Now, and so let's say you come into youth group and this is what happens. You come in and you rush in and you say, hey, how are you doing? You know? Now, that was pretty simple, wasn't it? Let's do that again, all right? You rush into youth group. You want to be sure to get the seat beside of her. You really like the girl, and this is what you do. You rush in, and you say, hey, how are you doing? All right, now, in real time, it looks very innocent, doesn't it? It's no more than this. Would we agree with that? In real time play, that's what we see, and we say, what in the world is so bad about that? All right, now I want to slow it down for you, and I want to show you what's really happening. All right? You'll like this. You come into youth group, you're rushing, you want to get beside of her, and this is what's really going on in your heart. All right? You rush over, and you're running, and you're going to hit that seat. And then you hit it, and then you come down, and you brush against her, and about that time, yes. and then you're back. You know what? The fireworks that went off in your heart right then, you know what I'm talking about, some of you? Now everybody's gotten a halo over their head. That charge that you got, that euphoria, that, oh, that's great. You know what that is? That's your flesh. Thank you, Dominic. You make a fine young lady there, all right? Listen, there's some of you guys, you won't even crack a smile while I say that. You know why? Because you know it's true, and you know that you've been playing with something that you ought not be playing with. Some of you guys need to learn the importance of setting physical boundaries in your life. There's some of you guys, you're fence riders. You get as close as you can. You know, if you go out here in this little courtyard area, you'll find this electric pole. Comes up out of the ground, has these benches and these wooden barriers so that you can't get up on that pole. Anybody know what I'm talking about just right out here? All right, if not, you go see it afterwards. You know why it's there? It's there for your protection. Now, if some of you treated your standards that have been set for you in your life like that pole, you'd be griping, and I want to climb on that pole. Stupid wood. Why do they want to keep me from climbing? What if I want to climb that pole? Now, here all of us would say, well, duh. You want to be fried as crispy as a piece of bacon, then climb that pole. And you know what? Your youth pastor or your parents look at you and they say, well, duh. I'm just trying to help you. They're setting some, you know, boundaries are not a bad thing. They keep you from harm. And some of you guys are playing with fire physically, and you know what? If you're not careful, you're going to lose a major battle in your life, and you're going to have a lot of regret. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Can I tell you something about this preacher? My flesh cannot be trusted. If Paul said that, who am I to think I'm super Christian? And you know what? Your flesh can't be trusted either. I'm not talking down to you. I'm just telling you a fact of life. You know, some of you right now, you're losing the war miserably. You know why? Because you're playing with the physical. And it always leads you one step farther, one step farther. And I know for some of you, you say, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. Well, you know, there'll come a day you'll realize the truth of it, and then it'll be too late. But on a physical front, some of you maybe are in relationships right now. You say, I'm not in a relationship. I probably won't be for the next 40 years because girls don't like me. You know, the best time to make up your mind about things like this, it's before you get in it. You got to think about it. Well, you know, I want to put some boundaries in my life. I want to win this war in the flesh. Well, walk in the Spirit, and hey, when it comes to your physical relationship with the opposite gender, you build those boundaries. They're not there for your hurt. There's a reason you wear a seatbelt in a car. Why? They don't want you going through the windshield. There's a reason that you, when you ride a roller coaster at Six Flags, they put that big bar over your legs. Why? They don't want you to fall out. There's a reason for so many other restraints in our lives, and it seems like some that we're not bothered by, but some of the most important ones we are. Right now, young man, you're in a war. You say, yeah, if you lived with my brother, you'd know we're in a war every day. No, you're in a greater war than that. I'm going to tell you, you're in a war right now. Fleshly lust. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You know what? You can win that battle. You can win that war, but you're only going to win it God's way. You fight on the spiritual front. You leave here knowing that you're saved, and you leave here at least having an understanding of what it means to walk in the Spirit. And the Lord says, if you're submitted to me, you'll not yield to the flesh. From a mental front, you want to win that battle? Listen, right now there's some music, there's some images that you've been viewing. Listen, it's got to stop. Or otherwise you're going to be in the same old rut. And on the physical front, you better use some wisdom. On the physical front, you better remember, hey, listen, my flesh has these desires, and these desires are wonderful when they're fulfilled in God's timing and in God's way, but they are a horrible thing when I just let them run free. Fellas, you're in a battle right now, and I wonder how many of you need to shore up several fronts in your life. Let's bow our heads together.
Thank you for listening to the Life Tools Sermon Audio Podcast today. If you would like to know more about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, www.billriceranch.org, and click the Good News tab. You can also find more sermons, books, music, and ministry resources online in the Bill Rice Ranch store. Visit today or call 1-800-253-RICE.